Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Pneumaticos. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning's episode is entitled The Self-Mockery of Genetic Bioracism Within the Western Church. I wanted to do this particular show because of the recent event murderous event that happened in this Afro-American church. And I wanted to also provide a meditation on race and racism, and also talk about why this phenomenon is so powerful within Western culture. It is, in fact, so powerful that it has taken over, and it is a foundational belief also within the Western Church. It is, in fact, an idolatry position or belief. And it is a belief that is antithetical to the revealed teachings of the Word of God in all of the biblical documents. And so the fact remains that this position, that is the belief in racist ideology, has tainted, as it were, the Western Church for centuries. I wanted to, again, speak about, let me again consider this term race, and I know that it is a product of 19th century anthropology. This term race and racial category. So it would be important to trace the history of this term and see, in order to understand why this term is indigenous, it defines Western religious, social, and political institutions. So much so that this belief, as I said, is inherent within the very structures, within the very fabric of Western culture. It is, in fact, built. Western culture is, in fact, built upon this very peculiar self-understanding, which justifies murderous acts, heinous, barbarous behavior toward others who look different, and who have more melanin content or pigment in their skin due to their DNA. So this is different. And it is a fascinating study. So my heart goes out to those individuals who lost their lives, to their families, and you know that this will not be the last time that this happens. It seems that taking of life has become institutionalized too, or part of the fabric in Western religious ideology. The term race, one individual has written about the term, quote, "Most people think of race as a biological category, as a way to divide and label different groups according to a set of common inborn biological traits, for example, in color or in shape of eyes, nose, face. Despite this popular view, there are no biological criteria for dividing and for dividing races into distinct categories. No consistent racial groupings emerge when people are sorted, notice the language, by physical and biological characteristics. For example, the eye fold that produces the so-called Asian eye shape is shared by she speaks here about the Kumi, Stan Bushman, members of an African nomadic tribe. The visible physical traits associated with race, such as hair and skin color, notice the visible physical traits associated with race, such as hair and skin color, are defined by a tiny fraction of our genes. And they do not reliably differentiate between the social categories of race. As more is learned about the 30,000 genes of the human genome, variations between groups are being identified, such as in genes that code for the enzymes active in drug metabolism. While such information is proved to have clinical utility, it is important to note that these variations cannot be used in groups from one another, as they are outweighed by overwhelming genetic similarity across so-called racial groups." And, unquote, this was from a study by Pabo, P-A-A-B-O, 2001. Again, quote, "The strongest, most compelling evidence to refute race as a biological category comes from genetic analysis of different racial groups. There is overwhelmingly greater genetic variation within a racial group than across racial groups. One study examined the variation of 109 DNA regions that were known to contain a high level of polymorphisms, or DNA sequence variations. Published in one of the most respected scientific journals and in agreement with earlier research, it found that 85% of human genetic diversity it's found within a given racial group. And the name here is Babu Jani, 1997. Race is not a biological category, but it does have meaning as a social category. Different cultures classify people into racial groups according to a set of characteristics that are socially significant. The concept of race is especially potent when certain social groups are separated, treated as inferior or superior, and given differential access to power and other valued resources. This is a definition adopted by this particular piece I'm reading, adopted by this supplement because of its significance in understanding the mental health of racial and ethnic minority groups in American life. So I wanted to open the program with these words because I wanted to set the groundwork for understanding that there's no scientific basis for race, but race is a significant social category, and it defines whether or not one will be excluded or included. It's a tie. So race is a pivotal, foundational value of Western culture. Now, there may be those who deny this reality. Nevertheless, it remains true. This is the milieu that has been developed over the century. And it also permeates the West Church. There may be those who deny this itself, but nevertheless, it remains true. It is a fundamental reality. So, I'm speaking to the community, that is those individuals who comprise the West Church. And the Western Church believes, I believe for the most part, in the teachings of people. And the teachings of Jesus were given to and vouchsafed to his own. That is, those individuals who have an organic relationship with him. And I'm speaking not personally in the self-understanding that believing ones have from the relationship with Jesus, from the Gospel of John. You and me and I and you are words that we read in the Gospel. John, there is that organic relationship that we share with Jesus. The letter of 1 John teaches that believing one do not and cannot practice sin because the sperma, the seed of God, remains. That is the language that John uses in 1 John, because the sperma of God, the seed of God, remains within the individual's heart, the believing one's heart. Therefore, he or she cannot practice sin. Jesus also talked about those who create trap streams, for those who do their influence and behavior cause others to stumble. And the language that Jesus uses is very severe. When he talks about this reality. And this is what he says in John 18, verse 6. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones who believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe unto the world, woe to the cosmos, because of offense. The word therefore, offense, in the Greek text is scandalon. Verse 7, it is scandalon. It indicates a trap spring. It indicates a mode of behavior that is deliberately designed to cause an individual to sin. It is behavior that is designed to have another fall. It is a deliberate, intentional action. Verse 7. Once again, woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. But woe unto that man by whom the offense cometh. Now, in the Old Testament, the woe oracles that were delivered by the Nabi or the prophets of God were very serious. This is a woe oracle. And Jesus said, verse 7, woe unto the world. And then he becomes, he takes that, then he says, woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. See, it is a very serious offense to God. It is very serious to God when individuals deliberately manipulate others and keep others from a fully or keep others from a complete understanding of the teachings of Jesus. So therefore, the individual of understanding is what? On purpose. Now, just think about it. All of the multiplied millions that have been spent in the West on music, on books, on psychotherapy, and on teaching from the scriptures without addressing the most fundamental teachings of people. So persons are deliberately trained not to hear the complete counsel of God. They are in fact given a particular view. And they really do deserve to hear the whole counsel of God. So verse 8 reads, wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, come off, cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life whole from maim, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. If thy eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast from thee. It is better for thee to end into life with one eye, but with having two eyes, be cast into hell. For speedy too late. So, he is talking about sinful action and idolatry within our mental system. That is within, or within the mind, within the emotions. Irrational beliefs, heretical beliefs that are woefully antithetical to the teachings of the Word of God. This is very serious. And so, just think about the teachings of the world system, the stoichia, the element, the fundamental element of the cosmos. And what is involved here? And what the Word of God will have us to understand about who we are and whose we are. in James chapter 2, we read these words. James chapter 2, verse 1, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons." My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord of glory, with respect to persons. It is with prejudice. Prejudice is roundly condemned in the Scripture. Jesus said to his own, "Love one another as I have loved you, and love your neighbor as you love yourself." Verse 2, "For if there come unto you, unto your assembly, a man with a gold ring, a goodly or a beautiful clothing, and there come, and also a poor man, in violently, you have respect to him that wears beautiful clothing, say to him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are you not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But you have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat? Do they not blaspheme that worthy or that good name by which you are called? If you fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. But if you have respect to persons, commit sin, and are convinced of the law, or convicted of the law as transgressors." That means the word transgressor and transgression means to overstep a divinely established boundary. "For whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all, because the law is organic." The law is organic. "But he that said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if you kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, that they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that hath showed no mercy. And mercy rejoiceth against judgment." And then in the rest of the chapter, James goes on to speak about how faith without works, that is the context for James' discussion on faith without works. We are to be the light of the world, the thoughts of the cosmos. We are to be the thought, the light of God. We are to be that city set upon the hill. We are to be the salt. How can the church be salt when the church is harboring sin? Now, one cannot fit around this. The statement of Jesus, "Love one another as I have loved you." There's no hermeneutic that will allow an individual to escape from that command. There is no redaction that's going to happen. There is no rereading of the Scripture. There is rejection. And very frankly, one can reject the teaching of the Word of God. But then an individual who knows not extend to that individual. And one can write beautiful books, and one can have wonderful speeches and sermons, and one can do incredible work in counseling and therapy. But at the end of the day, what about the truth? It is truth that matters. And we want the world, or so we say, to believe that Jesus came into the world to save his life. Bible specifically states that there is to be no respect for persons. See, God does not hold prejudice. God is not prejudiced. And it's really interesting that in the books I have with theology, when I read about the doctrine of God and study about the attributes of God, this area, this is not addressed. Yes, we talk about the veracity of God. We talk about the integrity of God. We talk about constitutional attributes, about moral attributes. You know, we have this whole autopsy on the character of God, this whole recipe. We have laid out the divinity, you know, in these marvelous, eloquent algorithms. And you say, God is like, and this is who God is. And we deal with some of the Hebrew, some of the Greek words. And with the mark, the word is the living sound. Be ready to give every man an answer, an apologetic for the hope that is in him. So people are not thinking, well, I need to read books, I need to be able to argue passionately and convincingly to a number of people. And if you read Peter, he is not talking about intellectual debate, he is talking about one's life. He's talking about the existential platform upon which one stands and says, this is true. It is about the life of the individual. It is about the consistency, that radical consistency. The people who of the first century saw the church, yes, it was not perfect, and I had some other professors to tell me so, but what the first century world did see and what they did say about the believers then was, behold, how they love one another. Then some might say, well, it's because they were all of the same race. These three Acts, the beginning of the book of Acts, about the coming of the Spirit and about the different believers who had come for Pentecost, they were from all over the world. They looked different. Different hues. They were not different races. Even Paul proclaims, you know, in his marvelous sermon on Mars Hill, that God hath made of one blood all nations of men. There are only so many blood groups among humankind. There are no anatomical differences that are noticeable in the cortex, in the musculature, in the structure of the heart, the liver, in the connective tissue. There are no discernible differences. God hath made of one blood all nations. My name is Dr. Cyrus Bartlesham, and have a wonderful day.